And we are back. Yeah, I was gonna say. Well, again, we go back to the same thing as we. Ooh, hello. This is what happens when I bring these two into. Okay, fine. Let's do it. All three of us. All
No,
together.
we're
All three.
not.
No, okay, fine. Okay. So, again, thanks for sticking with us the entire day. I don't like these guys have been here with me all day, and they're about to. They're starting to get the dance moves out, but hopefully
You
we'll
are.
get through. Well,
You
hopefully we'll get
promised
through
that
the
you'd gang
questions.
them.
No, you promised you would.
Well, now there's an
Thankfully,
expectation.
Barry, our camera guy, cut me off right when I was going to give the answer of whether I was going to or not. So I guess you guys will never know.
Well, it's ambiguous. I am going to say that he said he would do it.
Fine. How about this? Before we go into questions, gentlemen, because we have actually some really good ones here in the chat. So before we do that, one quick reminder. I was going to say at the top of your page there, but the link is actually wrong. So quick reminder about the eval for today. Super important for both myself and these guys as well, because, well, they need to know whether you care about what they were talking about. I need to know whether this stuff was actually useful for you. But more importantly, we actually do take your feedback in subsequent weeks and stuff like that. We'll actually make those changes. Hopefully, like Darian was saying, a couple of changes over to the screen and layout and stuff like that. So yes, please keep it coming. Plus, interestingly enough, there is actually also a prize draw if you submit your eval.
That's why I submitted 7 evals already.
One for each session plus bonus,
I think so, yeah.
I guess. All right. Once is just fine. So the correct URL, aka.ms/workshop-eval, one word. Okay?
Might want to put that in
Yeah,
the
you know
chat
what? I'm
window.
going to put that in here, aka.ms/workshop-eval. Thanks for that.
No problem. I'm
Now,
here. Value add.
interestingly enough, you guys are going to see that show up on the screen before you actually hear me say it, but that's okay. Anyway, let's tackle these questions. By the way, guys, keep them all coming. Let's first go to this one over here where Tiny21 was asking about consistent UIs across the
Yeah.
different platforms. Do you want to comment on that one?
Yeah, it's actually a great question. It's good to hear from you again, Tiny2.
I'm sensing they know each other,
Yeah,
but that's
yeah.
fine.
We met at an HTML5 workshop
You know
of all
what? The
places, so.
developer community is one happy and friendly and
Absolutely.
small yet
Yeah.
big community.
Yeah. So the question's an interesting one because of the fact that there's no one right answer. And it really depends on you as the developer or publisher of the application or set of applications to decide where that differentiation ends or that consistency ends, right? I think it's one of those things that it's not an exact science, more of an art, but you'll know it when you see it. If you've designed your application and the interaction components and the flow of the application across the various different platforms, you'll know it in your heart and you'll know it pretty much that it works the way you expect it to. The other thing that you should do, and it's not something that's necessarily feasible for everybody, but it's probably worth your while even to do it with your friends and family, is use them as beta testers so that you
Yes.
can get the bugs and the kinks out of your application to say, well, I don't know how to get to here, right? Well, maybe for you as a developer, it's easy because you developed it and you know it's a no-brainer. But for the average user, it may be a very different story. So I think that's one of the things that you should think about. But again, to answer your question directly, there's no one right answer to that question around where does it end. It's more of a question of what do you feel looks and feels right for your application?
So I'm just going to paste in here into the window. Check this out. Okay, so what I'm pasting in there is actually a session that, and I always get her name wrong. So Michelle, if you're watching, I apologize, but Michelle Leroux Bustamante is actually one of the Azure MVPs actually from the States. But she actually has a session that we recorded 2 weekends, I guess it was now, when .NET Rocks was in Toronto here. We did a simulcast of their VS 2012 road trip. Anyway, long story short, she actually did a session about how her startup that she's working on is on Azure, whatever. But she actually went through all of that, how she tested the application and you know the whole friends and family concept. So check out that session, and actually check out the other sessions that are as part of the road trip as well, so that you can get a little bit more of
Yeah.
that.
And one of the really important things too that you you mentioned in your session too, Paul, is really
that I think we really should highlight, it's worth highlighting again, is to get to know the design language of the target client platform.
Yes.
Because you can't take even an application like Cocktail Flow and push it to every mobile platform out there. If you took the Windows Phone client and put it on an Android tablet, it's just not going to work. Yeah. So careful thought and understanding of how that works, regardless of the client platform, that is important.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a great comment here in the chat. It says, for cross-platform apps, isn't about the user expectation. Here, this is what I wanted to know. And a WP app, by the way, that's Windows Phone. A WP app user expects a WP experience, and an iOS app user expects an iOS experience.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so even when you're testing with your friends and family and asking, hey, like, you know, what are your favorite apps that you're using on your phone or your tablet or whatever, and how does, like, be honest with me, how does this one stack up? And getting that early feedback will really help drive some of those designs and make it consistent, not necessarily for your application, but for your application in the context of the client platform.
Yeah, it's... I mean, the whole idea behind an app, in the new sense of the definition of what app is all about, is really saying that your application, your app, should feel like an extension of the platform, right? It should not feel like it's a jarring experience to get into your application, because one of the stats that's out there is that, you know, of all the apps that are downloaded at least once, only 25% of those apps actually get opened again. And that's bad odds, right? It's really tough to actually get your app to be sticky with the user. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that maybe the experience is not appropriate for the platform. I've seen that many, many times.
We also talked about that also in the developer session.
Yeah, it's
shameful plug. No.
Yeah, we did. But it's important, right? James is spot on. You have to understand the spirit of the platform, not only the spirit of your application or the personality of your application, but understand the personality of your host platform that you're targeting for that specific version of the app.
I'm putting the link in there just in case anybody wants to check out DevsCube. Okay, Paul P wants you to go ahead and say new paradigm. Did you just say it?
I don't think so, but I'll say it. New paradigm. Just like the fact that my glasses are very new Windows Store-ish.
Yeah. We all have Windows Store glasses. Though,
we do.
We do. Fairly
side pose. No. Okay, back to here. We have another one. So the next question is, can I keep my UI images and elements in Azure and access them through any platform?
Yeah.
You want that one, don't you? You're like, yes, I'm all over that
one. Well, I was just going to say, yeah. Like, that's the answer. Especially, with mobile services, the back end, of course, that's been, with this last drop, that's been opened up. And we're going to access those resources just as an endpoint. So I think, actually, Corey Fowler was already in there talking about how, it's just an endpoint. You're just going to make a request to a resource, especially just over HTTP via REST. So, absolutely, you can store it in there. And mobile services, as of last week's drop, now also supports blobs as well as tables and long-running processes and background tasks.
And actually, just to give you an example, we were talking about this in the chat, but if you take a look at the Canadian Developer Connection app for Windows Phone and soon-to-come Windows Store, that actually does, in fact, pull a whole bunch of resources, granted, from a whole bunch of different places, RSS feeds. Some of the images are coming from LinkedIn, so on and so forth. But all of the configuration, all of the back-end pieces of the app are actually coming from Azure. So that, you know, it kind of keeps everything central. It makes it very easy for me to manage, for sure. But the point being is that rather than worrying about, you know, where am I going to put this stuff, or more importantly, even things like an app might reference a name of a particular file, but let's say I wanted to change that image, right? Rather than having to worry about redeploying the application, I change it in Azure Storage, and there you go. It's updated in the application, right? So it actually makes things a lot easier that way.
And I think one of the things also that, you know, I sort of talked about, and I know James went into great detail through his demos, but it may not have come across super well with my talk, at least. I think it went quite well with yours, just plug for you.
But I do want to backpedal in there. That was good.
No. Yeah, I didn't want to make it sound otherwise.
But if you miss James's session, it will be available on demand.
So the reason why I bring it up is the fact that, you know, what's the value of Windows Azure versus Amazon Web Services versus Rackforce or whatever it is that you might be using, right? Platform as a service is something that not a lot of people are necessarily really understanding in a great fashion yet, but they're starting to. But platform as a service, the concept of that, the idea that you just push your application to Windows Azure, you don't have to worry about the virtual machine unless you want to.
Right.
It's huge.
Or more importantly, unless you need to.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Because you may want, but really shouldn't. Yeah, well, if you don't know how to run a server. Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're all talking, like, using the idea that I talked about, the fact that the cloud or the adhesive of these applications as a cloud is a first-class citizen as part of the experience. You should focus on making sure your application is up and running. You should not necessarily have to worry about whether your machine is running. That's our problem, not yours.
There's also another point there too, is when you're as you're getting started and trying to plow through some of the initial turn up and actually getting your application going, this is a really easy on-ramp to make it happen. Yeah. And I think next week, even in the next workshop, you guys will be covering actually porting an application over to Azure. So, and that'll actually be consistent. The reason why I bring that up is because right now, if you build up on the mobile services platform, you're kind of capped with that one database, and you can move it over to business and upgrade. But if you want to kind of scale out even further and you make that transition, you're going to need to do the data migration yourself. And some of those tenets and principles for moving over will be applied there as well. So next week, we'll have more details on getting bigger, right? Right now, it's getting out the door.
Yeah.
Getting bigger comes later.
Agreed.
I love this comment, too, in the chat about the question was, so can you just... Yeah. That's why there's lol in there. I guess it was supposed to be funny. Hi, Fuzzlol. Anyway, so the comment in here was actually about, you know, so you could put all this stuff in your Azure Blob storage, and then it goes wherever you want, and then can you reference that directly from your code? Yeah, and I mean... Where was the answer to that? Because it was actually beautiful. It was basically like, yeah. Oh, here, exactly. With your Azure account, you get the blob storage, so you can put whatever you want, wherever you want.
So the answer is yes.
Yes.
Which I think I actually said like 7 minutes ago. I think it was like,
you did.
Yeah.
You did.
But now we've covered it in really good detail.
There you go. Okay, here's another question for Paul. For the UX, where does the differentiation end? Suppose I have a great feature in Windows Phone, but not in other platforms. Ooh, hello, come back. There we go. Do we lose some of the user base?
Again, there's no right answer to that. It really depends on what your application is trying to do, and it will vary from scenario to scenario, I think, right? So the answer is there might be certain situations where certain functionality you don't want to bring. And I think it's really easy to figure that out or understand that if you have, say, for example, a desktop application, traditional one, you know, like Windows Forms, or a website. You may not want to bring all that functionality to, say, a phone application. So a good example of this would, and I talked about this in one of my blog posts in that series, is a call center application. A traditional call center application is extremely busy on the screen, and there's a reason for that. Because call center agents need all the information that they need or that they can get on a customer when they're answering an irate caller or something like that for a customer service ticket or something.
Not that that would ever be you guys.
No, never. But you know, the idea is a Windows Form application is really good, or even a green screen application is really good for tab, 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 because that's what they need to do. So the user experience is appropriate for that. But you wouldn't want to translate that into a Windows Phone application or any mobile application for that matter in the current screen that you have. You need to sort of refactor that down to the right size. And actually, one of the posts that I don't really talk about in this presentation that I just did, but is part of the series, is, you know, UI refactoring and scenario building, right? So figuring out the right scenarios for actually building out those the form factors. So I went right to the chase in my examples of my Contoso Stocks app, but I didn't really show you how I got to those scenarios. So I think it's one of those things that you really have to feel out.
Cool. We had another question on here in terms of, you know, kind of going back to, hey, what do you get with Azure? So you get 10 websites, 10 mobile services, one SQL Server DB free with Azure. And I loved Corey's answer to this one. There are a number of different options for what you get. And I mean, the truth is it's true, because it all depends on whether you've signed up for a trial, whether you've signed up via MSDN. By the way, MSDN actually has a whole slew of Azure benefits that come with your MSDN subscription that, right, interestingly enough, for whatever reason, not many people know about. So if you have MSDN, do yourself a favor, do two things right now. Go into msdn.microsoft.com, sign in with your live ID, or now online ID. This kills
Microsoft account.
Microsoft account. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Clearly, I get confused. Okay. Yeah. So you log in with your Microsoft account. And then in your benefits area, you'll actually see two things. You'll see the Windows Azure benefits, so go ahead and activate that. And then you'll see the Windows Store Developer Account benefit. Go ahead and activate that. And in fact, if you're tuned into the Canadian Developer Connection blog, I actually have a blog post on there that kind of walks you through some of the interesting steps of the Windows Store Developer Account sign-up process.
There's a couple extra steps there if you're an MSDN subscriber versus just someone getting started, like signing up as directly with an Azure account.
But it's not hard. It's not. I just figured that a blog post will actually make it easier for you.
For sure.
Now, if you are you don't have MSDN, let's say, and you've come in through a regular trial, then for 90 days, you have a whole bunch of resources that are available to you. Corey put in the chat there, there's actually a great calculator that figures all this stuff out. Usually I get the question, okay, what happens after my trial? How much is this stuff going to cost me?
Right.
My take on it, you heard me say this last week, use the trial time to kind of run your application as if it was running the real thing. Get an idea during that time of what your costs would be. That's probably a good picture. Unless, of course, you have the details in terms of how much bandwidth do you push out, what's your infrastructure like, so on and so forth, the pricing calculator would work really well for that. But if you don't have that data, because let's say you don't have an existing app, you're either guessing or do a prototype of it, put it up there, and see what it comes up with.
Right, exactly. You make a couple of requests, use Fiddler or something like that to kind of emulate some client behavior, and then you can do some easy calculations on your side and figure out, okay, I just added 100 rows to the database. What kind of traffic was that? How big is my database? How much is being used? Right. And apply that to, you know, say if you're going to have 1,000 users or 10,000 users or whatever you think you're going to anticipate, and that's how you come up with your costs. So pretty straightforward stuff.
And I mean, and that's what the trial is for, or that's what MSDN is for. Right,
like
many people are like, well, I'm just going to sign up and then nothing, right? But actually use that time to figure out what it's going to cost you. Now, last but not least, we do have a great question in here. If you're building a cloud-based application versus a physically hosted application, how much performance difference do you have to think of roughly? Mm-hmm. Now, of course, this one depends only because it depends on actually the architecture of your actual application. Now, keep in mind, even though you're putting the application up in the cloud, the only time where you're thinking of real performance differences is if you're connecting back and forth, or if your hardware on premises is, you know, hardcore hardware, where you actually have beasts of servers running these things. Granted, there may be some differences there, but if you're just running your typical server-based hardware in your data center, running a couple of virtual machines, you're not going to see too much of a difference. Having said that, use the trial, use MSDN to test this stuff out. The only way you will know is if you try it out. Everything else is all theory.
Right. And an important note there is that that's if you just take the existing design approach to the architecture of your application, just that you've done on the server already, that you've already built out, how we already know. If you start leveraging some of what makes Azure really useful and you start using things like queues and whatnot, you can start delaying the execution. And the nice thing about pushing it out to the queues is then you can start using worker roles that are just spun up on demand when load actually starts to go up.
It's almost like asynchronous infrastructure.
Yeah, exactly. I was reading one blog post that I will try to find and share with the group, but basically on using like PowerShell scripts to, the guy knew that his load was generating, got really heavy at about 4 p.m. in the afternoon and continued till about 9 o'clock at night. So at 3 o'clock he went and spun up using PowerShell scripts and just running something locally in his own on his own premises, but using that to spin up extra worker roles remotely to handle the load and then to spin those back down to 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So in that way he's only paying for what's actually being used at peak times, and you don't have to go and get 15 bulky servers. You have one kind of core thing running the show until you need all the helper hands in the pot to make it more
and that's efficient. An interesting point, too, in that, you know, while one would think, well, you know, performance differences, you might actually, depending on the architecture of your application, you may actually be able to add X many additional instances that will compensate, if you will, for any performance that you would have seen, and it might actually still cost you less than what you're running today. So don't think about it as one for one, exactly how James said, is like move it over one for one, sure, but then actually see how this kind of stuff rolls out and see where you can tweak from there, because chances are, depending, unless of course you've done all the research and all the testing, whatever, beforehand, chances are once you get it up there, as you do iterations of your application, chances are you're going to find ways to tweak it.
We're lucky, actually, to have Corey Fowler, our Canadian home slice, who's now working at the mothership. He's got some great links in the chat window.
That's
there
true.
As well.
So. Yeah. Wasabi is a big one to look at from a scaling your application.
And I think a lot of it also has to do with the fact of what does your application or your service actually do.
Yep.
So, for example, if you're pushing out video and it's a big, big part of your service, you might want to use content delivery network capabilities within Azure, because that may actually make it a lot easier for you to, you know, distribute that across various locations around the world and not have to push out like a lot of traffic from your own home server, for
right.
example, that might be existing under your desk even. So just one of the examples right there.
Since you went to that extreme, you really shouldn't do anything with your own server underneath your desk in a production environment. But
seen it done before.
In theory, that should go without saying. So we're right at time. Thanks again for joining us. Couple of quick housekeeping things before I let you go. One, don't forget the eval. Again, aka.ms/workshop eval. Really important. Did I say evil? I meant eval. I can't even say cut that out because it's live. So there's that one. There's also to check out, I mentioned the Canadian Developer Connection Windows Phone app.
Yep.
That, yes, does use Windows Azure in the back end. That's aka.ms/cdndevswp. More importantly, three places I want you to check out. Canadian Developer Connection blog. So that's where we have our information, and then sometimes we have guest posts from wonderful MVPs like James and the rest of the crew out there across Canada. The Canadian Developer Connection group on LinkedIn, that's where we are to answer your questions. So if you're watching this live and you don't put the question up in the chat, you still want to ask us, or you're watching this on demand afterwards, put your question in there. All of us are there and a whole bunch of other developers. I think we're actually up to 5,600 as of today or more.
Something like 5,600
that. 5,600 developers.
Right on.
So the beauty of that is you could technically email me a question, and you're going to get one answer. You put it on there, you're going to get a whole slew of answers, which actually makes it really interesting to kind of see how different people implement different things. Last but not least, if you haven't already done so, your Windows Store account, so that you can actually try what James was doing in terms of that demo with mobile services and actually get an application out there.
Yep.
I'm going to ignore that last comment
now
in the chat.
No, I think you promised.
I promised that's potentially a blooper.
No,
anyway,
no.
We got to let them go anyway. It's past 5 o'clock.
So?
Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
See? We're fun. He's not.
We don't know who the stick in the mud is.
I'm trying to conduct a show here, so these guys can go all and do their thing. I want to make sure that you guys get home, get on your trains, get wherever you need to go. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure that you tune in next week for the last of the three, which is actually migrating applications, as James mentioned. We'll talk about patterns and practices in terms of how to move stuff over, what you should do on and how, and more importantly, the methodology behind choosing which applications to move over.
Yes.
Did you want to add in anything else? You have that look.
I'm trying to think of something witty, but...
Pia LaBerge, Jay Rosenblatt, Canadian yes. James.
And by that's Rosenblatt, right. He means Rosenblatt. But that's
Rosenblatt. Right.
We'll forgive him.
I'm Ukrainian.
With that, thanks again, guys. Thanks for joining in.
Thank you.